if not all of us, have seen the video footage and were stunned and horrified by the assassination attempt of Donald Trump yesterday afternoon. I have to be honest and say that I've struggled about how to talk about it or what to do about speaking to my church family today. And yet I trust the Lord more than I fear the outcomes. This morning I want to encourage us today. I want to encourage us to pray. And so I want to, in the context of prayer, I want to speak to us now. And I want to share some ways that I believe we can pray. It's not all the ways that we pray. But what I want to encourage us to do, church, is to do the first thing, and that is prayer. I want to encourage us, church, as I've shared with some of you in the past, about doing the work of prayer. I want to call our church to prayer in the face of events and circumstances that happen. And so I want to invite us now into just an attitude of prayer. And you might want to jot some of these down if they're helpful to you to prompt or provoke your praying today and in these days ahead. I want to encourage us to pray, and so perhaps you would take again that posture of prayer, an attitude of prayer, that as I share these words that we might be prompted and provoked to talk to the Heavenly Father. I want to encourage us to pray for our country. I want to encourage us to pray for Donald Trump and his family. I want to encourage us to pray for our lives together as Americans, our civic life. Pray that in our disagreeing, that we're not disagreeable. That in our opposing one another, we are not violent. Pray that we might see in others the Creator's image. Pray for God's mercy to fall on us. And pray for God's correction to set us straight. Pray for the Church of Jesus Christ. Pray that the light of Christ will shine brightly. That it will shine in and through you and me. That Christ's light will shine in the darkest darkness. Pray that the church that will humble ourselves before God, that will humble ourselves before God's holiness and God's judgment. Church, pray that Christ will come quickly. And pray that until he does, we will give ourselves fully to the carrying out of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And here's what that Great Commission says. All authority, Jesus says, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. May Jesus' commission be our passion. May he receive our full devotion, and might we receive from him his gifts of comfort and peace, of strength and hope, of compassion and perseverance for the living of these days. Amen. And amen. God's word is our firm foundation. It's the ground that we stand on. It's the good seed that when we hear it, it's like seed that falls onto soil and it begins to sink down in good soil and it grows roots and it bears good fruit. That's what God's word is like. God's word is the bread of life, Jesus says, by which we are nourished in our souls and in our actions. So might his word lead us to acts of mercy, to acts of service, to acts of living right, to acts of justice, acts of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that good news of Jesus Christ, that gospel of Jesus Christ, it saves our souls from death, but it also saves our communities from fallen humanity. Church, God is a gift-giving God. He cares about us. He wants to extend to us his good gifts. In Mark's gospel this morning, several gifts are worth taking a look at and opening ourselves to receive. So take your Bibles and turn to the gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter, but then also hold your spot there and turn to Acts, the 12th chapter. We'll be looking at both of these passages. So I want us to see two gifts, possibly three gifts, depending on how the Spirit leads. They're worth us taking a look at. They're worth us understanding that God has some gifts that he wants to extend to us today. So, the first gift that I want us to be open to receive from God today is the gift of second chances. The gift of second chances. Now, let me read two accounts of the life of Herod that help us to see this gift of second chances. So the first passage I'll read is from Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. They went out, and that's the disciples, and they preached that people should repent. So this was Jesus sending out his disciples. He did not go with them, but he sent them out on a mission by themselves. Now, as they went out, verse 13, they drove out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Verse 14, King Herod heard this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying this about Jesus: John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, Jesus is Elijah. And still others claimed, Jesus is a prophet, like many of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, how can this be John? Because I beheaded him. He's been raised from the dead. Here in the life of this Herod, we see coming to fruition what I believe is a second chance. Let me move now to the book of Acts, the 12th chapter, and we'll see a little bit further down the road in this story of second chances. I'll begin in verse 18. So this again is Herod. It's not the same Herod, and I'll get to that in a minute, but they're related. One is an uncle, the other is the nephew. In Acts, it's the nephew. In Mark, it's the uncle. So, verse 18 of Acts chapter 12. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. Now, the backstory here is that Peter, who was in jail, prison, in chains and shackles, with guards all around him, an angel came and freed him from prison overnight, and he walked out of jail a free man. When they woke up the next morning, he was not to be found, and nobody knew what had happened to him or how he escaped. After Herod had made a thorough search for him and did not find him, he cross-examined all the guards, and then he ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went to Judea, from Judea to Caesarea, and he stayed there. So after this great drama that played out, it's kind of like Herod needed to take a little bit of a retreat, and so he heads out to Caesarea. Verse 20, he had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of Herod, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day that Herod was wearing his royal robes, he sat on his throne and he delivered a public address to the people. And the people shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God. Let me repeat that. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But, verse 24, the word of God continued to spread, and in my translation it says, and flourish. Here in this story, we have two Herods, as I said. It may not be evident at first. You might think this is the same guy. There's also another Herod in the early parts of the Gospels that talk about the time of Jesus' birth. That's an even different Herod. So there are different Herods through the New Testament story. But here in Mark and in Acts, we find this character referred to as King Herod. Now in Mark, as I said, it's the uncle. And in Acts, it's the nephew. You might think they're unconnected here, these stories, but when you combine them, I want to suggest that they play out for us second chance. There's an opportunity here for a second chance. In Mark, Herod the uncle, it says, I haven't read that part of the passage, but he had a real heart for John the Baptist. He was curious about John the Baptist, who was a strange character, a strange kind of prophetic character that had come onto the scene. And Herod, in Mark, Herod the uncle, was fascinated with John, was fascinated with John's message about God. In a way, Herod the uncle was kind of drawn to God. But as the story plays out, Herod gets into a little bit of a bind, and he ends up making a decision that he no doubt regretted. He had John the Baptist put to death. This Herod in Mark, Uncle Herod, respected and was curious and fascinated with John the Baptist, and yet, because he got himself into a bind, he had him put to death. Chance one. In Acts, there's the possibility of a second chance. Herod the nephew has a second chance to not repeat history. You see, sometimes in our families, there's a repeating of history that we think sometimes it's just meant to be. We can't avoid it. My dad did this. My grandpa did this. My mom did this. My aunt did that. And we're just destined to repeat. But I think if we look closely here, we can see the opportunity for a second chance. Now, Herod the nephew is what we read about in Acts. And so the story here is that there were people in the region that were needing Herod's blessing. And they come to him, and Herod dressed in all of his kingly regalia, and he gives a speech. And they're so in awe of what Herod the nephew had said that they treat him as God. And here Herod the nephew has a second chance to give God the glory. And yet what does he do? He doesn't take the second chance. No, he receives the glory as if he were God. And it says immediately He was struck down and he died. A family tree could have changed. A nephew had a second chance to replace an uncle's bad choice. But in this situation, history repeated. Today, church, today, friends, as we're gathered here, today is always an opportunity for a second chance. Maybe that's one of the great values or gifts of a day like a Sunday and a place like a sanctuary, is that in this place, we can hear God's gift to us of the possibility of a second chance. Now, we can always walk out of here and repeat history, our own bad history, or the bad history of our families, or of our friends. We can repeat. And usually when we repeat the bad, it perpetuates. And the second chance is missed. Today, friends, we are all offered this gift from God of a second chance. Maybe today is the day that we'll begin to move away from repeating bad history and we'll receive this gift of God to us of a second chance. Yesterday is over. Today is a new day. And tomorrow is a new day. And God's gift to us is the gift of a second chance. Know this. Second chances are not to be ignored, because they are God's gift of grace to draw us closer to Him. God's gift of grace to draw us closer to Him. Amen. Well, there's another gift I want to mention in closing. After Mark has, in his gospel in chapter 6, after he has recounted this story from the past about how John the Baptist met his demise, after John has recounted that story, he comes back to what the disciples had been doing. Now remember, in the passage that I read, it tells the story of the disciples being sent out by Jesus to minister, like a mission trip for his disciples. Jesus stayed back and sent his disciples out. And it talks about how his disciples ministered. It said they cast out demons, they anointed the sick, and the sick were healed. That sounds like a gift in and of itself. That through the ministry of Jesus' people, there can come to people that kind of freedom. Freedom from what we might call being possessed by things and by habits and by attitudes and by depression and by other things that grab hold of us. Now, in taking that approach to what it says about casting out demons, let me say this to you. I believe in demons. I believe that in the demonic activity of the kingdom of darkness, I do believe in that. And I believe that our day and time, we don't hear a lot about the casting out of demons, but we do hear a lot about the freedom that comes to people from those things that have grabbed hold and taken possession of their lives. That's freedom. That's God's gift. And so we jump forward as we get to Mark chapter 6, verse 30, from really what he had been saying in the first part of chapter 6 about the disciples. So if we pick back up in verse 30, it says this: the apostles gathered around Jesus And they began to report to him all that they had done and all the things that they had taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going and the disciples did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Verse 32, "So they took him up on it, and they went to a quiet place by themselves." It's not in the text here, but I think we can understand that Jesus delivered to his disciples what he promised. They got their rest. This may be the gift of grace that you need to receive today. The gift of rest. You've been busy with good work, whether that's the work of the Lord and the work of the church in the community, or maybe it's your own work. Maybe it's work around the house. Maybe it's working on the family. Maybe it's your job and profession, and you're just exhausted. And it's that work has stolen from you, perhaps, the opportunity to eat and to be nourished by the Lord. Perhaps in the doing of your work, whether it's your work or the Lord's work, perhaps some frustrations have set in. Perhaps there are disappointments that come along. And let me tell you, when we pour ourselves into the Lord's work, there will always be frustrations that come along with that. In church, to be honest with you, sometimes there are also disappointments that come along with that. We have high hopes for things that don't materialize. We want our efforts to succeed and to be kingdom building, and they just don't seem to build like we want them to. This morning, I want to encourage you, have eyes to see the victories. You see the frustrations, you see the disappointments, you see the work that you've been involved with, but have eyes to see the victories too, because they are there. And now Jesus invites you to go with him to a quiet place, to be replenished, to be re-nourished by him, to be renewed in that quiet place of rest. Jesus reminds us of some things in that quiet place of rest. And so if today the gift that you need to receive is rest and a quiet place to be replenished and to be re-nourished, receive that gift and know that when Jesus takes you to that place of rest, he is going to be doing some things. Jesus reminds us in that place of rest of his vision for our future. And sometimes when we're so busy working so hard to accomplish something, or even for the Lord, that we lose sight of the Lord's vision for our future. It's not so much what we want to accomplish for the Lord as much as it is what the Lord wants to accomplish through us. And that place of quiet rest is a place where the Lord Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, reminds us of his future for us. In that place of quiet rest, Jesus also reminds us of the vision that he has and the work that he is doing in our families. Honestly, we carry burdens with us for our families. And that's not just older folks, but that's even young people who experience sometimes difficulty at home, and it becomes a burden that they carry. And in that place of quiet rest, I want to tell you, Jesus is there to remind you and me that he is at work in our families. We might not be able to see it. We might not always be able to feel it. But in that place of quiet rest, Jesus delivers and reminds us that He is at work on those people that we love, but we feel powerless to do anything to help. Well, pressing forward, when we move into that place of quiet and that place of rest, in that place, the Holy Spirit meets us. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't always feel the Holy Spirit in you and at work, but the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of Christ in this world, meets you in that place. And the Holy Spirit goes to work strengthening you in your inner person, in your heart, in your soul, strengthening you even in your body. And in due time, gets you back to work. After you have found that place of quiet, that place of rest, the Holy Spirit works in us to strengthen us, to re-energize us, to replenish us, to set us back to work, to do what He has called us to do, to get us back to the work of the commission of Jesus Christ to make disciples of everyone, everywhere. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we receive today Your gifts to us. Perhaps the gift that is offered to us that we need is the gift of a second chance. And so, Lord, we receive that and ask You to lead us forward from this place. And don't just send us back on our own, but go with us and encourage us, bring people along the path alongside of us that can encourage us, Lord, in that second chance to not repeat history, but to set out in a new path for a new future. Lord, perhaps the gift that You have to give to us today that we have need of is the gift of rest, the gift of quiet, where we can meet You and experience Your work of rebuilding our lives, of recasting our vision, of recommissioning us into Your work. Lord, You are here and are faithful to us. Might we be faithful to You, and might we receive from You the gifts that You have to offer us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.